We're going to get started now. We're going to go to the Gospel of John in the first chapter. The Gospel of John in the first chapter. And you know, the ladies' class will meet again tomorrow at 1 o'clock. They'll eat lunch and then have their Bible study. If anybody would like to come to this, we will make sure that you get a ride to it. So, because the ladies have a good time there. They really do. They enjoy that on Monday, and I'm glad that they do. Anyway, that'll meet again tomorrow. And my dear wife has prepared a lesson that will talk about the first Thanksgiving. It's going to be a good lesson. I know because I typed it. But anyway, I didn't write it. I typed it. And anyway, you know, when the Pilgrims and the Puritans, they were together, got blown off the course and landed at Plymouth Rock, 1620. Of course, Jamestown was already a colony in Virginia, 1607. That time, that's where they was headed, but they got blown off course. And the trials and tribulations those dear people went through coming across on the Mayflower, it's just horrendous. And over half of them died that first winter, besides all those that died en route. And then when they did have that first Thanksgiving, they weren't giving thanks to Muhammad or to Allah. They weren't giving thanks to Buddha. They weren't giving thanks to Confucius or any of those other idols. They were giving thanks to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And that is unmistakable. None of them lying politicians can refute that, because the truth is against them. That's why they're trying to change history. But as many modern writers try to write about those people, they talk about how especially the Pilgrims or the Separatists, who had begun to realize that the Anglican Church or the Church of England, which is just a scaled-down Catholic Church, that's all that is. They don't have the Pope. They got the King or Queen of England. They've got the basic doctrine. I had a young lady tell me in my homeroom in the ninth grade at Lexington Junior High School. She was a cheerleader and very popular and all that. And in our homeroom class, we got a discussion over Baptist history. Can you believe that I brought that up? But anyway, how old are you in the ninth grade? I was 14, 15, I don't know what it was. Anyway, and she got into the discussion there, and she actually told that whole class, she said, well, we used to be Catholic, but we changed to Episcopalian, because you can be Episcopalian and do anything you want to do. She told us the truth. That's exactly right. Anyway, but these writers write about the Separatists especially, that they had refused to follow along with the Church of England, the Anglican Church, and that they did all sorts of things and they wanted, that's why they were called Separatists. They were separating from the Church of England. Now, I don't think many of them went as far enough. That's where the Congregationalists with Robert Brown started. But they were seeing the truth of the Scriptures, but yet they're writing about them as if they are rebels, revolutionaries. Well, as you come to find out in this world today, lots of folks write about Jesus as if he was a revolutionary, a rebel. Well, we're going to ask that, what did Jesus bring to earth? Did he bring revolution, riot, Rebellion. Is that what he brought to this earth? Well, we're going to find that out. Look at John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, a lot of folks don't like that verse, especially the Jehovah's False Witnesses. They don't like that because it states too plainly that Jesus is the God-man. And they don't believe that, just like the Muslims don't believe that. But the Bible plainly says, and we see in verse 14, that the Word was made flesh, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Doesn't leave you any room to doubt who the Word is. So, in the beginning was the Word. That's the second person of the triune Godhead, namely Jesus Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, that's not double talk in there. It means every word that it says. Just that I'm finite, and my mind doesn't go that far. But I do know this is telling the truth. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Old Elder Ward started a message one time. He said, what manner of man is this, Jesus Christ? Is He a product? Or is He a producer? Well, the Bible says He's a producer. He's not a product. Jehovah's False Witness say He's a product, not a producer. We say He's a producer, and He produces the product. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth. When it says shineth, it shines. That's present. Keeps on, shines and keeps on shining. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Didn't understand it. Didn't have any conception of what it was. All these religionists claiming to know something. If they don't know Jesus Christ in His redemption of sin and know Him as He embodies the fullness of the Godhead bodily, if they don't know Him, they ain't comprehending Him. And the light shineth in darkness, the darkness comprehended it not. Now, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He didn't say his name was John Baptist. Didn't say his name was John the Baptist. No, we find out in the book of Luke that his name is John, the son of Zacharias. His name is not John the Baptist. Jesus calls him the Baptist a little later, Matthew 3. And it wasn't because he was baptizing, as all the commentaries say. It's because he called him the Baptist before he ever baptized anybody. So the only denominational name that you could possibly find in the New Testament would be Baptist. Because the church that Jesus built has Baptist baptism. John the Baptist, not John the Methodist, not John the Presbyterian, John the Baptist baptism. And if your baptism does not go back to John the Baptist through the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not scriptural baptism. Not saying you're not saved, just you don't have scriptural baptism. Anyway, the same, that is John the Baptist, came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Now, over in the book of Acts, somebody called John the Baptist a pestilent fellow. What pest do they bug you, boy? He was a pestilent. I'm glad to be connected with a pestilent fellow. Anyway, to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. What a mess we're in. What a mess the human race is in. God had to send a man to tell people the light's on. That's what he's telling. He's bear witness of that light. Amen. Jesus Christ came into the world who is the life and the light of men. Hey, folks, you think you see something. You think you know something, but you don't. Look, here's the light.
Amen.
Not ridiculing in any way. A room full of blind people. No windows. And no lights. Are they aware of their situation? They're down in a cave, say. Down in Mammoth Cave with the lights off. Don't make no difference to them. They're the same whether the light's on or off. Well, that's exactly where the world is, in darkness. And here's the light and the life, and the darkness knows it not. Now, see, now here's the thing. John the Baptist's ministry came to witness that the light's here.
Amen.
Now, he was not that light. John the Baptist wasn't that light. But was sent to bear witness of that light. Well, if man's not totally depraved, the dead and trespasses and sins, why would they need somebody to tell them the light's on? Hey, folks, you know the lights are on? Well, what are you talking about? Are you an idiot? We see that the lights are on. John said, you don't see that the light's on. Because you don't comprehend it. Well, that was that world then. And that world then ain't changed a bit from this world. Matter of fact, it's even gotten worse. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, that doesn't mean that God does a work of grace in every one of them. He's not talking about that. See, you got to keep this in context. He came to bear witness that the light was on amongst spiritually dead, spiritually blind population.
Amen.
He's witnessing that the light's on. So he didn't enlighten everybody. He lit them up. So here we go back into that big room down in the middle of Mammoth Cave. Anybody ever been down there? And get down there and shut the lights off. See how dark is. You ain't never seen darkness. You've seen it that way. Down in the cave. So what would happen? The room's full of totally blind people. And you turn the lights on. Would anything happen to those people? Not a thing. They would be lit up. You couldn't see them before. Unless you heard or smelled something, you wouldn't know they're there. But you come down those steps and you flip them lights on, lo and behold, that whole room's full of people. And they didn't even turn around when you turned the lights on. They didn't know you turned them on. But you turned the lights on them and everybody else could see them. And that's what John the Baptist came to do. Light them up. All right. Now, you won't hear many give that interpretation of that verse, but that's what it means according to its context. Now, you see, this is true light. You know, photographers and artists talk about true light. These are not true lights. They're artificial. Now, it's overcast out there and cloudy, and these lights are doing a pretty fair job. Not good, not perfect, but they're doing a fair job. If all of a sudden the clouds would clear, and it's close to noon, or it is noon, and that bright sunshine with no clouds would come through these windows, you wouldn't even be able to tell much about these lights. It would outshine these lights. And that's what photographers and artists know. And they try to get to true light. When they get all those lights, that's what they're trying to get to, is true light. Well, you'll never get to it unless you get to the light. The true light. That was the true light. Verse 10, he was in the world. And the world was made by him. Amen. Never gets away from that, folks. Never throughout the whole Bible does he ever get away from the fact that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. And then here, what an amen. But what a woe is us, the next statement. And the world knew him not. The creator of this universe who spoke and it was done when God said, let there be light, and there was light, because he is the true light. The world knew him not, and they still don't know him. But as many, or he came into his own received him not, but as many as received him. Now that's the same thing as believing on him. To them gave he a power, that's authority, to become the sons of God. Now what are you saying? They weren't already sons of God? Oh, the Pope says we're all children of God. He's a liar. He doesn't know what a child of God is. The Bible says that the only ones who became a son or daughter or child of God are those that he gave power, authority. Amen. To become. And has he given everybody in the world power and authority to become the son of God? Not on your life, has he? Now, I'm not even to my text. I got to give you all this. I don't want to miss this. Those that believe on his name, synonymous with receive him, which were born, not of blood, that's my blood, type A, type O, type double O, or whatever it is, 007 blood, I don't know what it is. Wasn't born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Oh, so now he's not talking about the first birth here. He's talking about those that was already born when they came to a new birth. And it didn't come from your bloodline. Didn't come from your nature. Didn't come from your free will. Oh, I believe in free will. Well, that ain't how, if you're saved, that ain't how you got saved, according to your free will. It wasn't according to the will of the flesh, yours and nobody else's, nor the will of man. If we pray for them, they'll get saved. What? Huh? Not what the Bible says. God doesn't save anybody because of me, and he don't judge. He doesn't condemn anybody because of me. Oh, if you don't do this, God's going to send people to hell. Not because of me. I don't have that power. You don't either. A lot of preachers think they do, but they don't. But which were born what? Of God. God's responsible for that first one. That's why all babies conceived are made in the image of God. Remember that? And every time you doctors, every time you nurses out there listening, every time you cut a head off of an unborn baby, every time you cut his little arms off, his little legs off, suck his brains out, pickle him, lay him out and let him just die of exposure. And you do it every day. Joe Biden wants to do it more. Our governor wants to do it more. The governor of Virginia does it as a so-called doctor. You remember that you're murdering a human being that's made in the image of God. Now see, now that's the first birth. And that's of God. You say, well, we've created test tube babies. Oh, no, you haven't. Quit lying. Quit lying in these so-called science books, textbooks. And you lie to these children and tell them that you've created babies in test tubes. That is a bald-faced lie. Now, have you taken sperm and an egg and gotten them together in a false womb situation? You may have done that. But you didn't get the sperm and the egg, and you didn't make the beginning of a human life made in the image of God. Now, you take lots of premature babies have to be put in incubators. Well, that's thank the Lord for them. You may do that with your eggs. If you're hatching eggs, you may do that. And they come forth out of those eggs, baby chickens, peeping just like all the rest of them, with their little fuzzy feathers, like all the rest of them. But that incubator did not produce those chickens. All of the stuff necessary was right there. Just like and incidentally. So a mother's got a right to do what she wants to with her body. Well, her body does not produce that life. Her body serves as a God-ordained incubator. Hey, ladies, don't ever get yourself too high thinking you made that life. You didn't make any such thing. You served as an incubator where that life could grow and in the due time process give birth to it, and thank God for all of that. And I appreciate you ladies and all that, but don't ever say that you made that life because you didn't do it. God did it. Well, I'll go on now. The Word, verse 14, was made flesh. There's Jesus Christ. Now, where was he? He was with God and he was God. We've already heard that in this very chapter, haven't we? And dwelt, took habitation, lived among us. The great God, the great creator God, came to this earth and took up a body and dwelt among us. No wonder that all human history has been determined from the date of Christ's birth. No wonder old timers knew what was going on. Some of them did. But now, of course, all this bunch at the University of Kentucky and all of the other liberal joints, they want to even change A.D. and B.C. The year zero, and before that's B.C., before Christ. A.D., Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. And you can change it whatever you want to, but old Wantosh ain't changing it. You can't even make me say it. Human history dates to the birth of Jesus Christ. And before that, it was creation, but that's looking forward to the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Not necessarily on December the 25th. Anyway, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And boy, I'll tell you what, we wouldn't have time to explore all that that means. But he is the only begotten of the Father. Now, is he the author of the new birth? He most certainly is. But we will not have been begotten like he was begotten. And he was full of grace and truth. Now we're getting close to our subject. What was it that Jesus Christ brought to this earth? And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace, or grace upon grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We're talking about what he brought. No man has seen God at any time. Michelangelo, on your Sistine Chapel ceiling, you painted God. You said you did, but you didn't paint this God because you nor nobody else has ever seen him face on. Bible says that. Bible makes you a liar, Pope. It makes the Pope a liar, the one that forced him to do that. And if Michelangelo says that's God up there, he's a liar. Because the Bible makes a liar out of you. No man has seen God at any time. That means what it says. But the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. What a statement. Now, at this time, Jesus is on earth. And yet John tells us that he's in the bosom of the Father. You don't understand that, and neither do I. But we believe it because it says so. I don't know how. Jesus, and that's why Paul said we're blessed in, with all blessings in heavenly places. People say, oh, we're in heavenly places. No, we're not in heavenly places here. We're on earth here. Jesus Christ is in heavenly places, sitting at the right hand of the Father. And we're in him and he's in us. That's how we're blessed with all spiritual blessings, in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. All right. Now, some say he brought revolution, rebellion, trying to compare him to these anarchists of nowadays. You watching these churches, they're nothing but a rock show, is what they are. They've got the full orchestra bands and trap drums and everything else, and they're just rock shows. And that's what people are attracted to. They get those big rock shows and all that big entertainment and all that stuff. And then they'll present Jesus Christ. Well, it's good to get out there and revolt and rebel and demonstrate and all that, because that's what Jesus did. No, friend, that's not what Jesus did. Jesus brought grace and truth. He brought the whole creation, that says here in the first verse. He created the whole heaven and the earth. Then in verse 6, a man was sent from God to announce him and to bear witness of him. He is the true light from the beginning. Let there be light, and there was light. And he's also the life of men. Look at John 11 real quick. Verse 39, to save some time here. Jesus said, before the tomb of Lazarus, who'd been dead long enough that he was stinking, 4 days and 4 nights, verse 39, take ye away the stone, Jesus said. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. That's where I got that, what I said just a minute ago. I wasn't talking from myself, I was talking from here. Anyway, Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice. Now, don't you ever get on me because I cry with a loud voice. I'm just trying to follow the example set for me in the Scripture. I'd rather for you to hear me than to not hear me, as long as I'm preaching the Word of God. And so Jesus cried with a loud voice, and here's what he said. Lazarus! Now, he'd been dead 4 days. And you know what happens without the stuff they put in you? Formaldehyde? Without that? And it's fairly warm over there. There wasn't no air conditioning in that cave, because that cave was above ground. What would be going on in that cave? She was right. She said, by now, Lord, you don't want to open that cave. What an awful thing to do. The smell will be terrible, besides what we'll see. But Jesus said to Lazarus, come forth with a loud voice. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Now exactly where did Lazarus go when they unbound him? That's where a saved person goes, to Jesus. So if you got to beg them down now, oh no. If they go to Christ, you can't stop them. You can't stop them from confessing Christ. Anyway, here's what I was getting at. He was the light. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. We see that light. Let there be light, and there was light. That's why there was light before the sun and the stars were created. He is light. He is the light of men. He is the true light. But also, what's that mean? He is the life. Right there. He was the life in the beginning. God said, let there be light. There was light. God made Adam out of the dust of the earth, and he breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of Adam, and he became a living soul. He is the life. We can't produce life. I would like for all of the scientific world, they talk about this warp speed China virus vaccine coming. And all of that's because the president wiped out the Democrat regulations that they got on them. You want to know why your medicines and everything else been so expensive? It's because of Democrat regulations. Because them playing footsie with all these. Might be a few Republicans in there too. But because politicians. That's why. It's why things are so difficult. It's because of the politicians. Because what they're doing, trying to control us. And President Trump has released many, many, many of those. And that's why the economy did what it was doing until this, I believe, Democrat fostered China virus. Because Obama sent him millions of dollars to that laboratory that developed. They're developing biological warfare. And guess what? A biological warfare had been released on the world. That's what's happened right now. That's what that is. So why did he send millions of dollars over there to that? Well, he did. That's a matter of fact. Nobody will ever ask him about that, but why? Why did he do that? Anyway, but he is the life. He is the giver and the sustainer of all life. Well, let's look over in chapter 2 of John. Look what he did here. Verse 12. After this, he went down to Capernaum, or Capernaum, however you want to say it. He and his mother and brethren and his disciples, and they continued there many days. The Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went to Jerusalem and found in the temple, verse 14, them that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting in the temple. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple. And the sheep and the oxen poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, out of here. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. Now, the truth of the matter is that he did that again in Matthew 21. I believe he did it twice. So, well, why would he have to do it twice? I believe he could have done it 100 times. Because human beings are sinners. And it doesn't matter where we are, we're sinners. And we pollute the place. Anyway, so, say, well, see, there he was. He was just like a revolutionary. And that's what they try to say about him. Oh, no, they miss his one verse. He said, make not my Father's house. He wasn't saying revolt. He was saying, quit your revolting. Quit your rebelling and get out of my Father's house if you're not going to behave yourself. Far cry from revolution. Far cry from a demonstration. He wasn't demonstrating anyhow. He had this cord, the whip. Well, surely he didn't hit anybody. Doesn't say that. Why'd you take a bunch of people and swing that whip if it didn't hit anybody? Wouldn't doubt a bit that it hit somebody. That's what they're for. God's got a right to do what he will with whom he will. Anyway, his Father's house did not belong to Israel. His Father's house belonged to his Father. Well, it belonged to God Almighty. True religion does not belong to man. Look quickly at John 3. Jesus said to Nicodemus, a ruler, master, or Pharisee, teacher of the Jews. He said, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nobody's got a lock on the kingdom of God. Matter of fact, Nicodemus, if you're not born from above by an absolute act of the Spirit of God through the Word of God, you can't enter it. You can't even see it. And we see that here. The thief on the cross, neither one of them could see the kingdom of God until God did a work of grace in one of them. Then he said, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom? Nicodemus didn't say that. He didn't know anything about the kingdom of God. But the thief on the cross did, after God did a work of grace on him. So, true religion did not belong to the temple. The temple of God did not belong to the Jews. And true religion did not belong to the Jews. But now that's not all. Look at John 4 and verse 21. Or verse 20, this Samaritan woman, now she's Gentile, mixed. dirty to the Jews. She says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Jesus said, woman, in verses 21, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. 22, ye, that's second person plural, you all worship, you all know not what. There's a religion of the Gentiles, just as a religion of the Jews. Neither one of them knew anything about him. And I got news for you. Unregenerated persons, lost people in this world today, know nothing about the religion of God. So, governor, keep your nose out of it. You don't know anything about it. He said, you know not. You worship, you know not what. We know what we have for salvation is of the Jews. It came from the Jews because Jesus Christ came unto his own, and that was a Jewish nation. But Jesus Christ is the author of our salvation, lock, stock, and barrel. Amen. So it didn't belong to the Jews, didn't belong to the Gentiles. Real quick now. You got seven miracles here in the book of John. In chapter 2, he turns the water to wine. And I want you to know that you can't go down here to Mogan David or anybody else. Thunderbird, I don't know whether they still make that or not. That used to be the term, Thunderbird. Drink that Thunderbird. You ain't going to go produce the wine that Jesus Christ produced. Amen. And made that big bunch, 20-gallon pots, water pots of wine. Jesus made it by special creation of complex molecules. He did all these miracles. I don't have time to get them all. Anyway, he walked on water. So you can't fight gravity. If you're God, you can. Because if you're God, you created it. So how did Jesus walk on water? He controlled the waves. That's what manner of man is. I don't know what manner of man is. He's the creator of the whole universe. Anyhow, what did Jesus bring to this world? He didn't bring revolution. He didn't bring riot. He didn't bring protest. Everything Jesus Christ did, he came unto his own. He came unto the temple because he said, it's my Father's house. And you're infringing on it. Get out of it. He owned it all. He owns it all. If you're here today and you're not saved, repent and believe the gospel.